April 27th, 2021. This is the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority formal meeting. So I will call the meeting to order. And today we have a couple of special guests that I'm going to kind of move the agenda around a bit on. And what I'd like to do is welcome Commissioner Rodney Ellis. He has a commissioner's court meeting starting at 10. So we need to get him over to his meeting or wherever that ends up being, probably where it's sitting at his desk. But Commissioner, I'm going to give you the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for your leadership and all of my dear friends that I see on the video as well. Commissioner Clunan, Cruzo, Don Carlos, Meese and Fitzgerald, and my personal advisor, Kenny Freeman as well. I just wanted to briefly speak in support of the item that you have that's coming from your small business community committee, and I think Commissioner Clunan chairs. She has done a great job on it with input from all of you. I'm so proud that you all decided to do a disparity study. I know that is something that Mayor Turner, who I see as well on the screen, was very interested in. All of us at Commissioner's Court, and I think the mayor can speak for his colleagues better than me, but I think all of them on council as well. Even before this period of racial reckoning after the George Floyd incident, I think we were all trying to do as much as we could to bring more minority and women-owned businesses into the mainstream of economic life. City started a program decades ago. I was on council when it started. Mayor Turner and I led the effort to get the state to do a disparity study a long time ago for $1 million, I think in 1991, and the state has adopted a program. So I'm glad the port did it. I want to give special kudos to Commissioner Clunan and Commissioner Cruzo in particular. They happen to be women. So obviously they've had to deal with discrimination based on gender and race in their lives. But the two of them, I know because I've talked to them, put a lot of time and a lot of discussions into this effort. So three quick points. I thank you. Secondly, I'm pleased that the recommendation calls for support of a new MWBE policy and the creation of a division of business equity, which will report directly to the executive director. That shows leadership. And I appreciate you, Roger. I should have mentioned that. I was on a call earlier, I mean, a week or so ago, I think. But I think when it's going straight to the top, it shows that you're serious. And although at the county, we haven't put together our program quite yet, I assure you it's going to go to the top. We just happen to have a judge and several of us who all think we're the top. Third point is I'm pleased that you set a 30% goal. I think it's important. It's a goal. It's not a quota. It ought to not be treated as a floor or a ceiling. It's just a goal so that we can do better. And the last point, I look forward to seeing the progress and accountability moving forward. We won't bug you, but I remember when I was on council, some of you might remember when Milton Carroll was on the Port Authority. We talked about this issue in the old days. We could go up to that Century 21 restaurant. Y'all cut that out about the time I left the council. But it was an important issue then. And I think we just, some of the governing entities that have some impact on what you all do, I think we just weren't asking. And we will ask at Commissioner's Court periodically. Other than that, thank you. I appreciate all of you and look forward to working with you in any way that I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate your input. And we will definitely be, whenever you, if you can't measure something, you can't, you know, checks and balances. And we know that we will be publishing on our website. We'll be getting a lot of communication out to the community on how we're doing. And I appreciate your comments.
I forgot to mention, the judge told me I could speak for her on this. Norma, she speaks for me. Sometimes it's something I don't want to say, but she did tell me early this morning I could speak for her on this issue.
Mr. Chairman.
Perfect.
Mr. Chairman, this is Clyde. Can I ask the commissioner a question, please?
Sure.
Commissioner, I know that maybe this is an unfair question. And if you don't want to answer right now, I understand. But, you know, we got a big project coming up in the next 2 to 3 years of widening this channel so that we can continue to grow Houston and put all this economic benefit back into our committees. We think we're okay. But I just want you to be thinking about it as we get through this project. If we need some funding some way, some way that you folks at the commission can help us also.
Commissioner, it is important. And you know, when I first joined this board, you took me on that boat trip and we were talking about the possibility of a bond issue down the road.
Right.
It really ties in with this issue as well. I don't want to wait until I'm in a rocking chair or senile and won't know I'm on the port before we deepen and widen it. We ought to do it in our lifetime. We got to compete right with our partners like the Panama Canal.
Right.
But look,
right.
That's why this issue is so important, because we would need the support of the entire community.
Right.
And as you know, with the revenue caps, the mayors had to deal with at the city, we're going to have to deal with them. And they may get even worse after this session. It is important because we may well have to go to voters. So we want everybody.
Okay.
But I hear you don't want it done.
All right. Thank you.
I think the great news on that issue is because of the previous support that we've received from Harris County and the city of Houston in previous bond transactions, into ad valorem tax bond transactions, we've been able to invest in the infrastructure of the port that has created a revenue stream that we can actually attach now and sell revenue bonds and not have to ask the taxpayers of Harris County to back us up. And so, you know, we're in really good shape, and it all has to do with the previous administration's approving those bond issues and the investments that prior port commissioners have authorized and made to invest in our infrastructure that creates cash flow associated with us then to use those cash flows to deepen and widen. But and said another thing, another important part is industry has told us they are going to help participate as well. And we are going to hold their feet to the fire on that going forward as well. So thank you, Commissioner. Any other commissioners have comments or questions for Commissioner Ellis?
Thank you, Commissioner Ellis. I appreciate your kind words, and thank you for letting us present a couple weeks ago.
Okay, great. Mayor Turner, I see you there. We're gonna, you're up next, so thank you for being here.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone, Mr. Chairman, and to the director, and to all the commissioners. Let me just start off by saying that everything that Commissioner Ellis has already articulated, I come 100% in agreement with. Let me also thank Commissioner Cloonan and Commissioner Crusoe for taking the lead on a very important subject matter. I won't be long. Let me just, and I'll echo a few things. Number one, we live in a very, very diverse region. City of Houston is highly diverse. Harris County is diverse. Quite frankly, it's one of the most diverse regions in the country. And Houston has been the most diverse city in the United States. And it's so important for that diversity to be reflected in all levels of what we do. Because it's not just about being diverse, it's about being inclusive as well. And that's why I'm excited about what you all are looking at doing when it comes to our MWBE participation. Let me also thank you again for the disparity study. Because I think it sets the stage and provides everyone what they need in order to move forward. So that's critically important. I will say number three, that the city has had, as Commissioner Ellis indicated, he's a former city council person, and then, which was instrumental in creating our WBE program, I might add, has been in place for quite some time, and has been highly, highly successful. Highly successful. And it too demonstrates the fact that we can be diverse, and at the same time, we can be very inclusive in terms of the business and the economic opportunities for the people and the businesses in our area. The certification program has just been incredible and has been highly received and recognized by everyone, not just the MWBE community, beyond that. The aspirational goal, we thank you for that, for 30%, because quite frankly, when you look at the diversity within our city, within the county, it even far exceeds that. And I think based on the disparity study, you all have done, the county's done one, Metro has done one, we've done one, I indicated that certainly it can be achieved, but it's an aspirational goal. And so I really appreciate that. But I think this is just an opportunity to move things further. And I want to, again, thank the port for what you all have already done. And just on a side note, I do support widening and deepening the channel, because it is important for us to be competitive. And others want to take that mantle away. But let me thank you all for making this port the number one port in the United States. But in order to maintain that position, it's important that we put ourselves in the best position for ships to come into our area and not have to go someplace else. That's it, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. Commissioner Ellis, great to see you.
Thank you, Mayor Turner. Thank you, Commissioner Ellis. Commissioners, any words of wisdom or questions for the mayor?
No, just thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it.
Okay, we appreciate it. We know you have a bigger fish to fry, so to speak. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Hopefully they're gulf fish.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, so at the beginning of the meeting, I didn't call the roll, but I see and have heard from most commissioners. The only one I haven't seen is Commissioner Meese. Are you here, Commissioner Meese?
I've been here all along.
Do I see Commissioner Garcia there?
Yes, I was just going to say, I think he popped up. There he goes.
I'm there now.
Commissioner Garcia, would you like to, before we start our kind of formal meeting, I'll give you the floor. You look like you're in your car. Go ahead.
I'm out here at one of my facilities, greeting the people who are in line to get their vaccines. I'm excited about that. But I'm just as excited about the news that's coming from your chambers. And I want to applaud you, Mr. Chairman, all the commissioners for their work on this initiative. The fact that Mr. Gunther has fully supported the creation of a division speaks highly of the vision and the direction of the port. Because, you know, as you well know, in leadership, everything starts at the top. So I'm very, very grateful for that and very excited about what is happening. But let me also give you a perspective. When I served on city council, Commissioner Ellis, and I want to also applaud him for his work in that regard. Hold on a second, folks. I'm picking up some other channel here and I'm trying to get out of it. There we go. I apologize. I want to applaud Commissioner Ellis for his work. The county would have probably not dove into a disparity study if not for his leadership. And I'm excited to see that the port has followed in the city's example, in the county's example, and the hospital district is also following the same suit. But as a former city council member, I was the chair appointed by Mayor Bill White of the MWB committee at that time and learned a great deal. What I learned is that there is capacity in our community that will strengthen and broaden our economy. They just have to be given the welcome sign to come in, apply, compete, and then demonstrate their ability. So I'm very, very excited about all that is taking place. And it's great that in the very near future, the entire system from Metro to TxDOT to the City of Houston to Harris County government, and now the Port of Houston, the esteemed Port of Houston, we will all be on the same sheet of music that we need to be as inclusive as Mayor Turner alluded to. We need to welcome people to the table. We need to make sure that the process is fair and equitable to ensure that people can come in and, as I said, compete, but demonstrate their capacity and their ability, and then demonstrate their good work, and then go on and strengthen our economy. So, again, I want to applaud Commissioner Clunan for her leadership. I can't say enough good things about her. In that she is demonstrating some incredible vision and foresight in her work, along with Commissioner Cruzo. I want to just applaud them both. But everyone, in general, I just want to say thank you for all that you're doing. Given that the Port of Houston, largely in Precinct 2, I'm excited to be in partnership with you as you open this new chapter of the history of the Port of Houston. But also, let me just close that as Mayor Turner touched on, I too support the deepening and widening of the port, and we will get it done. So I applaud the conversations that are going on, the success of the port with all that is happening. So keep it up, guys and gals, and congratulations. And look forward to hearing the final vote on this creation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Garcia. Commissioners, any questions or comments for Commissioner Garcia?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank the commissioner for his good work on getting the vaccines out there to the precinct. You've done a great job. And it's great to work with you on that. It's really helped everybody a lot out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.
Commissioner Clunan, do you have something?
I was just going to say thank you, Commissioner Garcia, for your time. I know it seems like you're running around this morning. I appreciate your support and for appointing me to be able to do this good work. So thank you.
Very proud of you. Keep up.
Commissioner Garcia, it's Clyde.
Hey, Clyde, Commissioner.
I also want to thank you for everything you've done. And I know you and I have had a lot of conversations about the port, and you make me feel good that going forward, anything we need, you're going to be there with us. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate your leadership as well, Fitzgerald.
Thank you.
Great. Any other comments, commissioners? Okay, great. Thanks, Commissioner Garcia. Good to see you.
Thank you all.
All right, take care. Okay, I see that Commissioner Meese is here as well. So we have a full commission, I believe. Eric, am I correct on that?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the...
Is she here, Mr. Chairman? Cheryl, is she on?
I saw her a minute ago. Yes, she is on.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to our normal agenda now. So I'm just going to give you some brief remarks. Starting last week, we celebrated Earth Day. We also have in May and last week before last, we have another number of sort of weeks and days. We have National Small Business Week, we have National Infrastructure Week, National Maritime Day, and National Administrative Day. So we have a busy month ahead. I'm going to just go through sort of our priorities for the port in the future. And obviously, we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff today. But it's really about providing support and opportunities for our local small businesses to thrive. It's investing in our infrastructure to help the over 200 businesses along our ship channel to keep growing and provide and keep growing the jobs. Today, we have about 1.35 million. Jobs that support families, sustaining jobs for Texans is what we're all about, creating jobs and making sure we have the environment to grow those jobs, and conducting the port operations and growth with an eye on environmental sustainability. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. We're already making great strides in these areas, but we need we are committed to really furthering these efforts. One of the things I want to talk about a little bit is since our small business initiative was started years ago, we've been able to generate over $600 million of local community small business work. Stay tuned for the new initiatives that will expand these efforts into a more robust business equity program that over the next few months that Commissioners Garcia, Ellis, and the mayor have just spoken about. We're also reducing air emissions by expanding efficiencies for vessel operations, creating new bird islands and replacing oysters through Project 11. And yesterday at our PCCAC, which is Port Commission Advisory Committee meeting yesterday, we put details out of how we're creating a sustainability action team plan that will be framed up to engage stakeholders across our Port Houston community and industry to discuss ideas and identify potential projects that are meaningful and valuable to our region. This effort is just another example of Port Houston's commitment and strategic goal to improve our leadership in ESG, you know, environmental, social, and governance issues. I think the important part of the of this action team is we're doing workshops to actually come up with specific projects that are sustainable environmental projects that the port can either lead on or fund. But remember, the port is not the ultimate arbiter of what happens in the channel. I mean, just to remind folks, we have two major big jobs in the channel. One is we're the non-federal sponsor and partner with the Corps of Engineers when it comes to deepening and widening and other sort of channel improvement areas. And the second important job is we run the 8 public terminals, which includes obviously Barber's Cut and Bayport and the other break bulk terminals in and around the port. That's just 8. There are 200 other groups that are involved in the port, and we don't control what they do or how they operate, but we can be a voice, and we can also prime the pump with capital and ideas, and that's the idea behind this task force. I encourage you to follow us on social media over the next months as our team highlights this important work of our port doing, really furthering these important pillars of growth. With National Infrastructure Week, which takes place May 10th through the 14th, the idea there is to really bring awareness to the important role that infrastructure plays in our daily lives, from providing mobility to people and goods, providing the essential cargoes all across our world. Infrastructure is the key to a healthy and vibrant society. Port Houston is an example of the incredible benefits infrastructure investment can bring into our community. Here at Port Houston, we understand that investing in our infrastructure today means we can accommodate vessels and cargoes for the future that are safer and more sustainable. With Infrastructure Week just a few days away, we'll reach a significant milestone. We're going to be awarding our first contract in the construction of the first phase of Project 11, that's going to be recommended on our agenda today. This contract is for the Beltway site preparation, which represents the first shovels in the ground of the deepening and widening of the channel. It's not dredging, but we need a place to put the dredge materials before we dredge. So obviously it's an important step. Each step that we go through is all about continuing to invest in infrastructure that allows us to create these jobs. 3.2 million Americans rely on this channel, for their livelihoods. The future generations will benefit from these investments for decades to come. I really want to thank all the major stakeholders for your collaboration and continued support as we bring this project to fruition. As we reach new milestones for Project 11, we'll be looking forward to celebrating more of these in person with our stakeholders, businesses, advocates, and partners who will continue to make this project a reality. This is truly a pivotal project that will shape the success of our region for generations to come. I'd really like to give a shout out to the teams, especially to the team headed by Tim Finley and Gilda Ramirez for their work moving forward with the business equity plan. Obviously, this is a major team effort. Our administrative teams are really critical, and having to have had work remotely through this past year has been really tough on them, but they've really risen to the occasion and done a great job. I would be remiss if I didn't again thank all of the teams in the field every single day that are moving cargo and taking care of us with our all of our employees that are working day after day in the field, our port police, our security, our fire department, all key people and key team members that are driving forward the progress for the port. And Project 11, along with their work, will ensure long-term viability for our region and for the port overall. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks, and we'll move to item C, 1 and 2. We'll take them together, which is approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, may I say something, please?
Absolutely.
This may not be the proper time, but I you tell me if it's not. I brought it up a while ago because I don't disagree with you that right now, I think our funding looks very, very well. But we're going to spend a lot of money. And as it is right now, we ain't had nobody come up to the table yet. And as we dredge this channel and go forward, we also going to have to continue to buy equipment. And these cranes, are getting bigger and bigger and more expensive. And if we're going to stay up with our progress once we widen this channel, it's going to take funding. And all I would like to do is say, listen, let's don't close the door on anything that we may need. Obviously, if we're not going to need that money, then nobody on this commission wants to do anything. But if we get in a situation where we have a need, we should not be ashamed to go ask for it, because the community has given it to us over the years. We've been very successful with that. I just wanted to say that right now.
I agree totally, Commissioner, and I wasn't trying to shut that down. I was just trying to broaden the discussion a little bit and make sure that everyone knows that the port, because of those investments and because of your stewardship and all the rest of the commissioners that have been here a long time, you created a business that is thriving, that generates a lot of cash flow, and that can, in fact, support itself. Now, at the end of the day, if, in fact, we always have to keep every door open that we have possibly
right.
when it comes to funding, if we have a problem, and I agree totally with you, you should never shut the door on any funding mechanism.
All right. Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to
say. Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, the sky is the limit for this port. I've been in this conference for all week, and I've been hearing what the whole world is fixing to experience. And we're going to get just slaughtered with all this new cargo. That's the projection from everybody. But we got to be ready. We got to stay ahead of it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I agree with that. Any other comments, commissioners? No, one last thing I meant to say is, Commissioner Don Carlos, I see you have a tie on. And look, I'm not disparaging ties. I don't think you're out borrowing money. Some people just like to wear them. So you're good. All right. You want to say something?
No, I was just going to say we obviously need a dress code for our meetings. In anticipation of maybe actually meeting Ms. Crusoe in person someday, I have that as one of my bucket list items. I would hope that at some point we get to actually meet in person again. Mr. Chairman, the reason I'm wearing a tie is I've got a court hearing at 10 a.m., so I'm going to have to get off in about 5 minutes. I would ask, with your permission, to put the discussion on item F5 on the MWB program. If we could put that off until I get back, the hearing should be very brief. I don't think I'll be gone more than 30 minutes. If we could do that, I would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. So we'll move the schedule around for you on that. No problem. Okay, great. So let's go ahead and then take an item. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, let's take item C1 and C2. Do I have a motion to approve the special Port Commission meeting of March 11th and then the regular meeting on March 23rd. Those minutes, I need a motion and a second.
So move.
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, the items pass. Roger, you're up with staff reports.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Chairman. Commissioners, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Talk a little bit about the operational activity at the port. I'll start by saying that March was the highest month ever in our history that we've had in terms of container activity. Now, understandably, compared to last March, we're up by 20%. That was the month when we saw the pandemic start to hit. But and even the cargo dipped in February of this year due to the ice storm, and we were closed for a while. But we rebounded very quickly in March and handled more than 297,000 TEU last month. Those are 20-foot equivalent units. So year to date, our container volume is just 3% shy of the first quarter in 2020. I'll remind everybody, January and February last year were huge. The imports are driving a lot of our business. They continue to pour in at a very rapid pace, up more than 20% on the import loads. For the first quarter, the demand for retail goods and e-commerce is solid and is expected to continue that way at least through the second quarter or longer. The Port Houston, we're going to get an additional boost just next, in June with the arrival of another weekly service coming through the Panama Canal from Asia that'll make its maiden call again in June. So that's just even more imports and exports that are going to be going to Asia that we'll see here shortly. While imports are booming, export containers volume, the loaded volume remains soft, down 16% for the year. The petrochemical products, namely the polyethylenes and the plastics, remain soft, and that's a large portion of what we do in the port. That's a large portion of what is exported in containers out of the port. So the recent downturn has kind of been on the supply side, and the reason for that is the impact of the winter storm, for instance, shut down more than 70% of the U.S. polyethylene production, and some of it remains offline. It's slowly coming back. That was a bigger impact than some of the hurricanes in the fall presented in Southeast Texas and Southwest Louisiana, where the majority of plastics are produced in this country. So, but we continue on. We think that's going to come back. The truck gate moves and the volume through our gates remain strong in April. And most importantly, and you're not seeing this around the country, even this, with these large volume increases and spikes in volumes, we've been prepared from an infrastructure standpoint, as well as our labor and our team, to handle this cargo efficiently without any congestion. So we keep producing a high level of service for our customers, and that's very important for them to get in and out of our facilities. On the general cargo multipurpose facility side, we saw a good turnaround in March in steel, up 13%. We hope that's a trend that's going to continue to forward with the price of oil continuing to be solid. So we're up 2% year to date with steel, and also the bulk cargo and some of the bag goods that moves through some of our lease facilities is helping that as well. So as a total result, combined movement of freight across the port public facilities is for the first quarter is 10.1 million tons, and that's just 3% shy of what we have budgeted year to date. So, and as presented in the audit committee yesterday, this cargo activity has generated just over $100 million in total revenue for the first quarter, and that's 1% higher than what we had budgeted year to date. This cash generated from these operations will continue not only the fund's ports capital plan as we lean forward and invest in the future, but also for the Houston Ship Channel expansion for the greater good for our region and the state and the nation. So we'll continue to be forming and as look forward. And as an example for that, there's $24 million in contracts awards that are recommended for your approval and your consideration this morning. More than half of that are for the development supporting the initial stages of Project 11. So a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff going on. And I can just tell you, we had a tier one meeting yesterday with the Corps of Engineers just to make sure there's clarity. We're tracking together, you know, with the goal of getting a PPA, project partnership agreement by June, making some awards in the fall to get these things going on these contracts. Real briefly, some people had asked, as Rick mentioned, many of our people have never stopped working, and we appreciate that and applaud their efforts out at our terminals to keep cargo moving. For those who have been telecommuting, we're going to start a process of incrementally returning to work, most of those folks are in the executive building. We're going to start next week. The executive team's going to start coming in, and then we're going to phase as we go along with the sensitivity to safe and social distancing protocols. So we're going to ease back into it a couple days a week and just incrementally get to where as it's safe to return to business and see what that looks like as we move forward. I want to make one other highlight. Kelly, if you can put a slide up for those that have received an invitation, and for those of you on the call who have not heard about it, we got a special event coming this Thursday. It's a YouTube live event. It's called Navigating the Future, kind of a behind the scenes look at what we're doing here at the port, from our business to our MWBE programs to our environmental responsibilities and all of the above. So there's a link there that you can go and join. It's free and it's at 10 a.m. on Thursday. So sign up, and it's about a 45-minute video, kind of behind the scenes look at what's going on at the port. So we're excited about it and look forward to you joining. And lastly, I wanted to mention, I just realized yesterday that was the 65th anniversary of containerization. The ship, Kelly, if you'll pull up this video and start it momentarily. So I wanted to recognize that, you know, 65 years ago, the first container started moving through across the country in a very small way. And then this morning, I came upon this little jewel. It's a little video talking about the Ideal X, which was the first container ship. Play it, Kelly. So this is is known to become the box that changed the world. And the significance of that, those 58 containers left Newark, New Jersey, and they called Houston a few days later. So we were the recipient here in Houston 65 years ago of those 58 containers that has now become 3 million TEUs a year and a tremendous economic driver and creator of jobs in our region. So anyway, happy birthday to containers. And that's all I have.
Great video. Commissioners, any questions for Roger? Comments? Okay, sounds like no. We'll move to E1, which is public comment. And we have each person's going to have 3 minutes, as we usually do. So Eric is going to be timing. So when you're speaking, if you hear Eric give you the hook, that means you've gone beyond 3 minutes. So our first speaker is Ronald Bentag with the Green New Deal, I think is the comment that I see. I'm not sure. Ronald, why don't you introduce yourself, and you have the floor. Kelly, can we get him unmuted?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Bentag.
Interesting report.
He is unmuted, but perhaps he's having audio issues.
Okay. Well, why don't you try to fix those audio issues, and we'll go to the next speaker, and then Mr. Bentag, if you can, you can get back on at the end, perhaps. The next speaker is Joel Dijon. And Joel, are you, let's go ahead and unmute Joel and see if he can connect.
I don't see him on the list, but he may be a call-in user. Mr. Dijon, if you are, please press *6 to unmute.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, okay, so I'm Joel Dijon. I work with the LaRouche Organization and the Schiller Institute. The Houston Ship Channel and the Port of Houston are two of the greatest infrastructure projects of the last 120 years. And they are now in mortal danger, including the energy capital of the world, Houston, by Mayor Turner's climate action plan and the Green New Deal coming out of the White House and certain members of Congress. This whole fiction around the CO2 cult. If we cut down CO2, these fanatics would have us go back to wind-driven sailboats. And the expansion of the Houston Ship Channel and the Port of Houston is absolutely necessary. Now, if these fanatics and these pseudoscientists were serious about CO2, they would have promoted nuclear-powered merchant ships years ago. That's the direction we should be going. Instead of using our nuclear navy to menace Russia and China, we should be using the knowledge gained by the navy to implement nuclear power for merchant ships. So I highly recommend that the Houston Ship Channel should be deepened and widened, but you should be made aware that the whole port is under attack by the climate action plan of Mayor Turner and by the so-called infrastructure projects of President Biden, because their version of infrastructure is useless windmills that we saw how useful they are during the February freeze. And it wasn't just natural gas, it was the useless windmills that we have built to the tune of billions of dollars. Instead of building nuclear power plants, we build these useless windmills that failed us in February, and the solution to that problem coming from Biden and AOC is to build more windmills, more power lines. The solution of the LaRouche organization is to build more nuclear power plants, modular, small nuclear power plants, for not only on land, but on ships as well. And that should be the future of the Port of Houston and the Houston Ship Channel and the energy capital of the world, Houston.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Have we, Mr. Bettag, have you been able to connect at this point? Kelly, have we found him?
He's on, but I'm texting with him now to see if I can, if there's anything to do to help him.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and then go to the next speaker, which is Mr. Adrian Shelley of the Public Citizen. Adrian, go ahead.
Howdy, can you see and hear me?
We can, thank you. I like your tie.
Hi, yes, thank you. I heard we were formal around here. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Just wanted to say a couple of things and join in some of the congratulations that we've heard for the port for some of its recent efforts. I want to specifically highlight the Sustainability Action Team. We're very pleased to see that taking shape, and we appreciate the attempt to include stakeholders from a diverse perspectives, and certainly look forward to that process. Also really appreciate the framing of the team as looking for actionable projects and opportunities. I think folks at the port and in neighboring communities and elsewhere know that efforts toward sustainability, efforts at moving into the modern era with clean transportation, freight, and other modern energy strategies is and should be seen as a financial opportunity. And framing these sorts of opportunities as collaborative efforts that have the potential to benefit not just the tenants of the port or the customers of the port, but the communities around the port and indeed the wider community in the region. Those are the kinds of frames and approaches to these issues that I think really will be productive and will lift up all stakeholders. So in that spirit, we look forward to, working on the port sustainability effort. Point out just a couple of specifics. There is always opportunity at the state and federal level for funding for clean transportation projects. The Texas Emission Reduction Plan and the Federal Diesel Emissions Reduction Act. We were happy to support a recent application by the Port of Houston for DERA funding, but the port hasn't consistently requested DERA funding, and opportunities like that should always be taken. You know, a sustainability action team might be just the sort of body to identify and ensure that the port takes care or takes advantage of all those kinds of opportunities. And the last thing I'll say is environmental justice can and should be part of the frame of the work of a sustainability team, and indeed the work of the entire Port Commission. Environmental justice will provide important context for everything that the port does, from the widening and deepening project, which we support, to the implementation of a clean air strategy plan, and to sustainability minded efforts at investment. So we want to remind folks of that framework, the environmental justice framework, and encourage the port in its work with the sustainability action team and elsewhere. So that's all I got for now. Thank you all. Always appreciate the time, and look forward to working together.
Great. We appreciate your comments and look forward to working with you as well. I'm really excited about this this group and the great work that they will do and projects that could come out of this. So awesome. Okay. Let's go to Reverend James Caldwell, the founding director of the Coalition of Community Organizations. So Reverend Caldwell, are you there?
Yeah. Good. Yes, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. I do appreciate the opportunity to speak with the port this morning, the commission this morning. And as was stated, my name is Reverend James Caldwell, and I am the a part of the Healthy Port Commissioners Communities Coalition. And I do appreciate the port's focus on environmental leadership and sustainability. And I just want to let you know about an opportunity in that regard. The City of Houston, along with partners, have developed are developing a community air monitoring network that we believe the port could plug into very easily. There may be even monitors available that would require very little monetary investment from the port. And of course, we believe that community air monitoring is a tool that provides data-driven understanding of air quality and can help further our understanding of impacts on our neighborhoods along the Houston Ship Channel. And that's actually in real time. The project aligns with two of the port's four C's, that being community and change. We're asking you to join, excuse me, in this monitoring effort, community, and by inviting you to be part of our endeavor. And we're asking you to change, do something a little differently than what has been done before. We believe this could be an opportunity for the port to celebrate its role as an environmental leader, and we appreciate and would appreciate your consideration of this request. Once again, I want to thank you for your time and the opportunity to speak with you this morning. We look forward to it.
Great. Thank you, Reverend Caldwell. We appreciate your comments. And I've heard about this program. I know our teams have heard about it as well, and hopefully it will become one of those kind of projects that's on the list, and that of our sustainability task force that is going to be meeting here in the next several weeks, and we can move some of these projects forward. So thank you for comments. Next up is Christine Singleton, which community outreach coordinator for Texas Health and Environmental Alliance. Christine, are you on now? There you go.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me speak. My name is Christine Singleton. I'm with Texas Health and Environment Alliance, which is also part of the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. And we want to say thank you to the port, the commission, and the staff for developing the sustainability action team. And we are looking forward to taking part in these efforts. The clean air and water is something important to all of us, and often the communities most impacted by pollution, toxic sites, chemical spills, are those that have the least resources. So Texas leads the way as the worst state in the union for health insurance rates. So just imagine what it'd be like to visit a doctor to get an inhaler for your child and stretching every dollar you make just to pay bills. Our state has failed to protect the families that would benefit from expanded health coverage. We recognize that the poor doesn't have any say in that decision, but it does have a say in some of the ways that quality of life can be improved for our neighbors.
Want your glasses back?
We appreciate your initiative in bringing us together to see what is possible for sustainability in our communities. So thank you for that. We look forward to working with the new sustainability action team.
Well, thanks for your comments today. We are definitely really excited about this sustainability action team and look forward to your comments and suggestions on projects. And yesterday in our advisory committee meeting, somebody asked a question. I think it was Jean who asked the question, you know, how can I offer anything, you know, up on this? And I would suggest to everybody on this call that whether you're a environmentalist or you understand the details of some of these issues and maybe you don't, I think there's your voice about at least learning about the issues and then having a voice and raising your hand saying, hey, I think that really makes sense, or I think that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of, is really important, because we do need to get a broad community view of what are the projects we can work on and what are the most important ones that we can, you know, put our leadership to and our capital to. And so we're really excited about this program. Thank you for being here today. Did we get Ronald Betag set up there, Kelly?
I believe so. Go ahead, Mr. Betag.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can. Go ahead.
All right. Well, good morning. My name is Ron Betag. I'm 73 years old and a 47-year collaborator and supporter of the American System Policies and Program of the late Lyndon LaRouche. The planet is gripped by two choices that will determine war and peace. We've got to adopt again the American system approach to credit for physical and scientific development in cooperation with other nations, or we face the potential of war and a dark age that will ensue from the Green New Deal cash flow attempts for this financial reset. To maintain the power after the meltdown in the city of London, the city of London, its patrons, the British monarchy, the London branch office in Wall Street, they have moved more aggressively to stop development and collapse population under the ruse of saving the environment from the effects of an alleged man-made climate change. The LaRouche organization has just issued a report, The Great Leap Backward, LaRouche Crushes the Green New Deal Fraud, which outlines the global battle to crush the Great Reset. It's a dictatorship run through the central banks to impose Malthusian genocide through a green technology. We must set a new course for the future under a new paradigm of peace through development, along with the development corridors outlined by Lyndon LaRouche and his Silk Road program, which was the precursor of the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative, and it's coupled with scientific drivers in space research and fusion energy. And since China adopted that Belt and Road Initiative in 2013, 140 nations are now participating in this massive infrastructure and development program, which has become a viable alternative to the transatlantic financial system that collapsed in 2007. U.S. citizens have been hoodwinked to think that Russia and or China are the enemy, and this propaganda barrage comes from the same sources that manufactured the lies that the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The Biden administration's decarbonization edicts are now being challenged in federal court by dozens of states' attorneys general. Over 20 attorney generals have now also joined lawsuits challenging Biden's administration actions on the Keystone Pipeline. Top Indian officials have rejected mandatory fossil fuel reductions on the poor nations, correctly pointing out that Africa alone, you have 800 million people who don't have access to electricity. They do have a right to develop. China's beefing up clean coal generation, nuclear fission programs, rapidly moving to a world leadership in thermonuclear fusion. Russia is defending its development and export of fossil fuels. And the LaRouche organization calls on all individuals and associations committed on principle to the general welfare to restore the heritage of the United States to its role as a nation of producers, as we saw under the policies of Alexander Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, and John Kennedy.
Mr. Bettag, you're done now, sir.
Any discussion?
Commissioners, thank you, Mr. Bettag. I appreciate your comments. Commissioners, any questions or comments for anything that before we go through the rest of the meeting? Okay, Eric, do we have anybody else that I missed on public appearances?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Okay, great. All right, and we appreciate the public comments. You know, I think it's really important for commissioners to hear from the public. We have lots of forums to do that, and this is one of them. So, you know, if you want to speak at the Port Commission meeting, please just send an email to Eric Erickson or Kelly to get on the list. Let's move on then to item in executive areas. So let's talk about item F1 first, and I believe Commissioner Corgi, you're going to introduce that item.
Yes, yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in support of item F1, which is the support for the Houston Parks Board 50-50 Park Partners Plan. If you may recall, back in 2019 at the State of the City address, the Mayor Turner made this one of his top priorities in his administration. And you know, with the revenue cap and the budget crunch, with the pandemic and all the other things going on in our city, he's looking to the private sector for support of parks, and I fully agree with it. And I bet with the folks who are advancing the item, and I think they've got a good project proposal on board. I think I can think of no better way. You know, there's been a lot of discussion here today about environmental issues and minority support for minority communities. There's no better way to advance our environment than a clean place for residents to go and enjoy the outdoors and get some fresh air. Most of these parks that we have said that we want to support, or all of them that we want to put our money into, are all in the general port area. And there's no better, and they're mostly minority communities. There's no better way to support a minority community than to have a safe, clean park for children and adults to go and recreate. So I would strongly encourage that we support this project. I think it's good for the port. I think it's good for the city. I think it's good for the region. You know, you don't have to be a resident of the city of Houston to enjoy one of these parks. And you know, they're in close proximity to other areas such as Pasadena or Galena Park or whatever. So I think it's a great proposal. I know that, you know, it's a pretty good price tag, but I think that we're in the position that we can support this financially. And I think this would, as a chairman of the Community Relations Committee, I can think of no better way to develop relationships with our communities other than this project. So, Mr. Chairman, I would strongly encourage that we move to support the project. Thank you.
So is that a motion, I take it?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, great. So we have a motion and a second. Are there any other questions or comments on item F1?
Yes, I have a comment.
Okay, Commissioner Meese.
I've been kind of set against this project because it's $1 million price tag. And my concern was that we have such a great cost staring us in the face to get to the port, the channel widened. And I really don't believe that the county, and I really don't believe that the city will put any money in to the port to help us widen that project. However, I got a nice email this morning from Beth White from the Houston Parks. And she's explaining to me that in the city of Pasadena, they helped design a system to whereby they're trying to run a part down Vince Bio Trail project that will be leaving from the Memorial Park down to Strawberry Park along Vince Bio. And with that in mind, and with sitting through a meeting yesterday where our chairman continually said how healthy we were with our deal, and I think even again this morning, so I think that maybe that I'm going to change and support this project. And I want the rest of the commissioners to understand that I will be back this month with a program to help pay for that park they're trying to put in Pasadena, Texas. It's the second largest city in the area. So if we can give $1 million to Houston for their parks, and I think we can give $250,000 out to Pasadena to help them fix this park and put it together. And that's with the help of Betty White from the Houston Parks Board. And they, in fact, have designed this, and it's called the Pasadena Healthy Parks Plan. And it would be a great asset to the city. And so I'm going to support this one and expect that I will get the support from my commissioners. And I'm not for sure that we shouldn't do some thinking right now and decide that we've got a lot of parks in East Harris County and a lot of customers. And I'm not for sure we shouldn't try to set a fund aside to try to help those people in Seabrook, LaPorte, Deer Park, Channel View, on and on, just in the cities, and help maybe develop some of their parks or one of their parks that the port would take pride in helping develop to put these people in a position to be able to get out away from these masks, get into a park, enjoy yourself. And I looked at the money that the port gives away, and you might look at it yourself. We give over 70% of the money that we're giving away goes into the city of Houston. Not necessarily, it doesn't go to the city of Houston, goes to businesses in the city of Houston. But that money is being spent in the city of Houston, not in Seabrook, not in Pasadena. About 30% of it's going out there, yet 10% of the channel is in Houston, 90% is out in East Harris County. So we should take a look at some of those things. And with that, I will support it because of Dean. I'm going to go for it.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I'd like to say that, you know, it's an expensive contribution we're making, but I'm in favor of it. But also, and in favor of what Roy just said, I think we ought to take some, maybe equally, percentage-wise equally, and divide it up with the outer ports like Seabrook, Deer Park, Galena Park, Baytown, because our port affects them people's lives every day. With all the traffic that goes through their neighborhoods, they're in Harris County, Precinct 2, most of them. So I would ask that if we do this, that we equally give money to those small communities that the port affects.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say, Roy, I appreciate your support. And I would, as chairman of the Community Relations Committee, I would support projects throughout the region and in all areas that the port covers, and I appreciate you looking at this. But the one thing I did learn from Beth White was that, you know, it may be a Houston project, but you illustrated it perfectly that, you know, it expands over into Pasadena, and there's a lot of projects like that with the thing the Buffalo Bio Partnership is doing. I mean, that could go out throughout the region. So, you know, it all is interrelated, and I fully support growing parks and community development throughout the region. And I appreciate your remarks, and I really appreciate your support, Commissioner Meeks and Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Any commissioners, any other comments or questions?
No, I was just gonna say, Dean, thanks for your leadership on this, and I'm supportive of this. And thank you, Roy, for bringing your comments as well. Duly noted.
Thank you.
I think that this is great conversation, and I am glad to see that commissioners are generally in support of improving parks, not only in Houston, but in Pasadena and other cities around in and around the port. I think this is a great item for our sustainability action team or action team to look at, because when you start thinking about sustainability, and especially like in the project 11. I mean, we're talking about new bird islands, we're talking about new oyster reefs, we're talking about cleanup of things. And when you think about sustainability items, parks and reforestation and plantings and things like that are a huge part of a long-term sustainability program. And so to me, it's a perfect area for our sustainability action team to look at and to put projects forth. So I agree with all that's been said. So with that said, any other comments or questions, commissioners? Okay, hearing none, do we have any negative votes on the item? Okay, hearing none, the item passed.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, yes? can I request that we have Roger or his staff look at the outer ports and come up with a fair number that we can contribute to them based on, you know, however we do it, a percentage wise, based on Houston's percentage, to make sure they get equal treatment.
And then absolutely, I think the way to do that is, I agree. I think that we need to direct the staff to take a look at those issues and then bring those items up through Dean's committee, and then also have the sustainability action team, you know, you use this discussion as a springboard to projects like that as well. I agree with that, but I don't think it's part of this motion. I just think the motion is simply to approve this item, and then we'll move forward with the understanding that we'll do these other items later. Okay.
Great.
Any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, Tom, are you gonna handle the rest of these?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to discuss item F4. This is to amend the professional services agreement with AECOM Technical Services. What AECOM is doing for us is part of the Project 11, the possible development of an industry fee structure, as we've talked about in the past. The structure is required to show benefits. So AECOM will be taking the ship data and doing an analysis on which ships have benefits from the deepening and widening. So that will help us make the progression in terms of the industry financing that has been promised. So I would ask for approval of items F2, 3, and 4, and we'll come back to 5 later.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. Do we have any negative votes for item F2 through F4? Okay, we do not. So the motion's passed. We're going to move on and wait for Commissioner Don Carlos to get back before we talk about item F5. So let's move on to commercial then, and we'll come back to that item.
In commercial, we just have 3 lease renewals, 2 for Cooper Ports America and 1 for Texas Brine Company. So I ask the commission to approve items G1 through G3.
Move. Second.
Okay, any questions or comments, commissioners, on items G1 through G3? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes on items G1 through G3? Hearing none, the motion's passed. Tom H.
Under H, I'd like to speak about item H2, which is to approve the Port Authority's 2020 CAFR. It was discussed yesterday at the audit committee. Our external auditor, BKD, issued an unqualified clean audit with no material weaknesses. We are required to have the approved audit and CAFR sent to TCEQ by May 15th as a part of a state statute. So we're going to ask for that approval from the whole board as it was approved yesterday by the audit committee. I'd also like to speak about H3, 4, and 5. Before I get there, I'd like to thank for these 3 our treasury team, our finance team, and our legal team, as well as our outside partners in the legal side and the finance side, in developing these very important policies. These policies are become very important as we start looking to go outside for revenue bond funding. But let me go through them real quick. H3 is to adopt a statement of objectives and policy for the Port Authority defined contribution and deferred compensation plans. These are plans that the employees contribute money and they're the ones that choose the investment options they want to use. What this policy does is it allows the investment structure for the plan and sets guidelines for selection and evaluation of the plan's investment options. We have always had a program for this, but it's never been memorialized like this. So we have the same thing for our defined benefits and our OPEB plans. So this is best practice for us to move forward with these other two plans. H4 is to adopt a revenue bond debt policy and procedure for the Port Authority. What the policy portion of this is going to help us when we go out for those revenue bonds for Project 11. And it's something, again, that we've always done when we've done bonds. We haven't done revenue bonds in a long time, but it puts into a policy, a written policy, debt service coverage targets, debt structure, reserve cash targets, liquidity requirements. It just allows us to show as the chairman has been speaking about our financial strength, it helps us keep that strength going even when we start doing some of these revenue bonds. And finally, the third one is to adopt a disclosure policy for the Port Authority. Again, PHA complies with all federal security laws, but this is very important in terms of putting it in writing. So it assigns responsibilities and connections with the preparation, review, and approval of disclosures when you go out and do these bond issues. Very important. Again, it's not like we've never done this before. We always get the disclosure counsel and they help us through this, but now we will have our own internal written document that follows the laws that are required. So I ask the commission to approve items H1 through H5.
Move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve items H1 through H5. Let me just make a quick comment. On the items that Tom just talked about in terms of the policy and the objectives of the bond offering. So ultimately, what will happen is the staff will bring to the Port Commission. First of all, the Audit Committee approved those yesterday. I just want to make sure that everybody knew that, including the CAFRA. But the ultimately, what will happen in the process is that staff will bring to the Port Commission. All of the decision making process that will go on about who the bond counsel is, who the underwriters are, who the banks are, and all that will come to the Port Commission directly to approve ultimately. In addition, the staff is going to update us on an ongoing basis about timing, what interest rates are going to be, doing, and things like that. I think it's going to be important for us as a commission to sort of monitor these areas pretty in real time. So I'm going to ask the staff for next meeting to do an analysis that shows sort of what the industry believes interest rates are going to do and what our cash flows look like and when we should perhaps pull the trigger on a revenue bond issue. And I know that we had in the past talked about doing it this summer of 2021. But I think there's some new cash flow models that show maybe cash not being required until next year. The challenge, however, is with the volatility of interest rates and where things are in the economy with post-pandemic boom that's going on. There's a lot of concern that rates are going to rise in the future and how much would that cost us. So I think we, as a commission, need to understand those risks and I'll have. I think that the team will update us on some of those models at the next meeting, which will be in May. So With that said, any other questions or comments?
Chairman, one quick point, as I made yesterday at the Art Committee, to conform with our existing nomenclature, 4 and 5, we're just going to call, with the commission's permission, we're going to just call those policies.
Policies, right.
Yeah, just to go along. And what, let me just add one point. I mean, I think these are both 4 and 5 are best practices. And really, part of that is to set out that the commission relies on these staff actions to reach a judgment. And quite honestly, it's protective of the decision-making process and protective of the legislative actions that the commission takes on both those items. So I think, you know, as people know, particularly in the government finance area, but really in the private area too, boards rely on the staff to make, to bring their judgment, and this sort of memorializes it. So I think it's best for the institution overall.
Yeah, so these are policies, we're not approving procedures per se. Okay. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, so items, do I hear any negative votes for items H1 through H5? Okay, hearing none, item is passed. Tom?
All right, in infrastructure, first I'd like to speak about item I1. That's to approve staff rankings for the professional services contract for Lockwood, Andrews, and Newman for pre-development design work on the 64-acre Bayport U-shaped property. This is some property that is on the west side of Port Road, down where old 146 is. It is a future lease property, and we need to get that property ready to lease. So that's what this pre-development design work is for. I2 is what was discussed earlier, a project for Beltway 8. This is the actual contract to R&T Ellis for the removal of the clearing of the 420 acres and the removal of 52 World War II bunkers and the access roads to those bunkers. I6 is to amend our professional services contract with CAVU International for continuous improvement, process execution checklist, and operational excellence. We started a program back in 2018, and our leadership is very has a priority of developing our employees and improving our processes. Well, this group has helped our engineering department move forward, and through that and following real estate also doing it, we've had some requests from our other leaders in finance and people in the people group to expand that program. We've seen some great results and getting more and more in tune in terms of everybody being on the same page. Finally, the item is I-9, as the Chairman Campbell mentioned earlier, this is for the Port Authority's required cost share for the first project with the with the Corps of Engineers for the construction of the Dollar Reef oyster mitigation and also project construction oversight through October. So with that, I ask the commission to approve items I-1 through I-17.
Do we have a motion, commissioners?
So moved.
Okay.
And I just mentioned Commissioner Clunan is recusing on a few items.
10, 11, and 16.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion, but I'd like to ask a question of Tom.
Go ahead.
Do we have any interest in that Beltway property? Is the reason we're cleaning it up?
Yes, it's going to be used as a one-time disposal area, and then after that is used for the channel material. After it dries out, we will be leasing that property somehow. So it is a long-term investment for us to be able to lease that property.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, if not, do I hear any negative votes for item I-1 through 17 with the specific carve-outs for Commissioner Clunan? Hearing no negative votes and excluding Commissioner Clunan from the one she described, the items pass. Operations?
I'd like to speak about item J-3, which is to award a 3-year contract to Bugsbinder Benson America as a sole source for the purchase of spare and replacement brake parts for our 24 wharf cranes and our 107 RTG cranes. We also have 3 more wharf cranes showing up in 2021, as well as 9 more RTGs. These are a sole source, so to keep the warranty, we need to go back through them. Item J-4 is the approval of our annual vehicle purchase for all PHA departments. We are asking to purchase 45 new vehicles. We are trading in 25, so a net of new 20 vehicles. Our replacement schedule is about 10% every year, so we try to keep everything as long as we can, usually in about the 10-year range. So right now we have about 415 vehicles, so we're right at our replacement schedule of 10%. J-5 is to authorize some additional funding to Ambassador Services for our container terminal cleaning for the pandemic issue. This is a continuation through July, and then we will see where we are at the July meeting if we need to continue to clean the facilities on weekends. We know we have to clean it after every incident, but we still are cleaning it on the weekends. Just to give you an idea, to date, we have spent $7.77 million on items. That includes temperature screening of $4.3 million, which we discontinued about a week ago as the results were not there, and CDC has come out saying that it's not really important anymore to do. We've spent $2.75 million in cleaning and about $700,000 in supplies. So we will continue to do what we're doing to keep our people safe, but we will also be watching where the pandemic numbers go and how Harris County and the local municipalities are rating the surges. Item J-6 is to ratify an emergency purchase order that each of you commissioners got from Roger for some work that was done as the cause of damage from the winter storm. We can do emergency work as long as we bring it back to you and then ratify it at the next meeting, which is today. 9 and 10 are similar. We have some of our container line partners want their businesses expanding, and they're looking for more property. So 9 is for MSC and its group to lease 21.53 acres on the south side of Port Road. And 10 is for Maersk and its group to lease 22.52 acres. We believe this is good for those companies, but it's also good for us because it gets this kind of work, this storage of equipment and extra empty chassis and containers off of the main part of the terminal, and allows us to move the loads and empties that are being put on the ships. J-11 is the approval of the amendment to Lansing Trade Group for a 1-year lease with a 1-year option for the Woodhouse grain elevator. We've been working with Lansing for the last couple of years. The reason it's not a longer term lease is we are still working on some claims against the previous tenant, and until we have the outcomes of that, we're going to keep it as a short term lease. So I ask the commission to approve items J-1 through J-11.
Tom, would you address 8?
General? We're charging 65. Yes, eight, if you remember last month, you approved a professional services agreement or personal service agreement with Kinney to help us market the rail ramp at Harvest Cut. We will be the operator, and we do not have any kind of fee for the lifting of the boxes on and off the rail in our tariff. So this is putting that fee of $65.74 into our tariff so we can charge it.
Good. I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Second.
Okay. Any questions, other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes for items J1 through J11? Okay, hearing none, items J1 through J11 pass. Port Security?
Port Security has one item, L1, and it is to purchase radios, batteries, chargers, related accessories for the 1,000+ radios that we have in all groups. Operations, security, port police, fire, and emergency operations. This is a little bit more than we do normally, but we know we have some new headcount coming in this year. And we also have all those new RTGs and empty handlers. So each one of those has a radio installed in them. So this is how we run the terminals and keep our safety and security through the contact with the radios. So I ask the commission to approve item L1.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any questions? Okay, hearing none. Any negative votes on item L1? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay. Let's go to technology.
Technology has one item. M1 is to authorize a PO to NetSync Network Solutions for our VMware annual software licensing and support. This is for the virtual server environment that we have at the Port Authority. So I ask the commission to approve item M1.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, if not, I'll take any negative votes for items H1. Hearing none, items H1 passes.
M1.
M1's what I meant, sorry. Okay. It's my eyes, I can't read that little tiny number, tiny letter. Okay, so we do not have an executive session today, so we're not going to have that. We are, the only item left on the agenda then is to talk about the item F5. I think that I've been trying to get confirmation that Commissioner Don Carlos can join us. I think that he is still waiting for the judge to call his case. So Roger is going to check with him to see if he can join us for the discussion on this. Okay. So let me just make a couple other broad comments, which will be my closing comments. So while we figure out whether Commissioner Don Carlos can join us. I think one of the things I think we've talked about we had lots of discussion, obviously, about the strength of the Port Authority and our revenue bonds and whether we should use revenue bonds or general obligation bonds from the county. And as Commissioner Fitzgerald put forth, we have proposals from the energy companies and the other users of the channel to help fund the channel. And I just wanted to get a quick update from Roger or from Eric on where you are with the analysis of the proposal. I know we're still working on it, but but the idea behind getting some sort of structure in place where we can charge fees that wouldn't be disputed in court, and of course everything pretty much gets disputed in court these days. But with that said, Eric, can you give us a quick update, or Roger, on that?
Sure. Happy to do so. You know, as you saw, we as we already acted on, we approved an extension or an amendment to the contract with the joint venture that's working with us. Just by way of background, they assisted us last year and 2 years ago in our interaction with the Corps on arguing the benefit of some of the channel improvements. As you know, we were looking to optimize our opportunities for the assumption of maintenance and some other issues. So they've already been working on analysis of the advantages of widening and deepening the channel. So that was a head start for that group. They're working with one of our colleagues, Jordan Frisbee, on putting together a more granular analysis, so to speak, as to how each vessel type benefits from the widening or the deepening. And as you might remember, the federal statute treats it, a fee differently for a widening or deepening. And so we have to make a separate analysis for each type of improvement. In any event, they've obtained data from the Army Corps that is the Corps' original data. Now, we don't always in every instance agree with the conclusions that the Corps reached from that data. That still is raw information that we can use to calculate a fee. So once we get, whether it's an efficiency benefit that ties to the dollars of advantage, for example, from widening the possibility for two-way traffic, widening the possibility for evening traffic, less weight on the anchorage, less weight at the terminals. Those are the types of advantages that are gonna come from the widening and deepening, not to mention, obviously, vessels that haven't been able to traverse the channel. So all of those things get put together in a model. We're hoping to have it sort of a dynamic, not just a static model. And once we do that model and get a notion of what the dollars of, whether it's safety or efficiency, then we associate that with a potential fee, and we will come to the Port Commission and say, you know, these are the X benefits, and therefore that dictates for this type of vessel, this kind of a fee, for that type of vessel, another fee. So we're working along it. There's still a lot of number crunching that has to be done, but it's progressing pretty quickly. And as I mentioned, you know, we have a team besides, you know, Jordan's taking the lead, but besides that, we have a team that includes Tim Finley and others, and Charlie Jenkins and Roger and Tom, that are looking at the results of this. And at the end of the day, a judgment is going to have to be reached as to how you associate those benefits with a fee. And that gets back to some of the things the commission discussed a year ago, February, which is we need to make sure that a fee also is for the benefit of the greater port, and that we don't, so to speak, throw out the baby with the bathwater. We don't want to have a fee that compresses or impacts economic activity in a way that defeats the purpose of the widening and deepening in the first place. And that's a really key element to the policy decision that has to be reached. And so we're going to.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, Eric, thanks. I appreciate that. The one last thing that I just want to mention on this is that you know, the port is going to move forward on the deepening and widening of its share of the deepening and widening program, as we've all discussed, and that if we don't get industry participation, then the only difference is the timing of which certain parts of the channel get deep and widened. So it's business as usual under that program if we can't figure out how to get industry to help participate, which means that the channel would be taking longer to widen as opposed to getting it done in a very short period of time. So I think that's the difference that we're talking about between industry participation and non-industry participation. So with that said, commissioners,
thank you for that.
Go ahead, Clyde.
I said thank you for that comment.
Yes, sir. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and move on to item F5. And Commissioner Don Carlos, unfortunately, is tied up in court, but he has sent me some comments that I will give you once we get into discussion. So I'm going to let Commissioner Clunan introduce this item. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioners, this is an item on which our Business Equity Committee, formerly Procurement and Small Business Development Task Force, has been working on since we received the findings of our diversity study in December. Those numbers highlighted the need for our action, and this new policy is a product of the collective work of the port staff and my fellow commissioners, who I have to thank for all of their diligence and efforts. This was a heavy lift to get to this point. So a couple of weeks ago, Roger and I presented before Harris County Commissioners Court. While it was acknowledged that we have to improve, we received support from the county judge and commissioners, as you heard today, for what we have done in response since getting those studies findings, namely the recommendation of this new policy, creation of a business equity division. You heard a bit of those comments this morning. So this agenda item approves a substantially final MWBE policy, inclusive of a set goal, updates our SBE policy, and after adoption, the important work of implementation, including the carrying out procedures for the MWBE policy and creation of the division, will be under the purview of Roger to oversee. We'll get updates and progress reports as we go along. I really do want to say again, thank you to everyone that has aided on this effort. It was a huge effort, and I look forward to continuing to collaborate to achieve our goals. I do have one floor amendment to offer, Eric will read that out. It just adds the counties we discussed in the committee to the marketplace definition. So I will have Eric read that, and then I will ask for a motion to approve.
Let me point out to you, I didn't see Chambers County.
Well, that's exactly, Commissioner, that's exactly what we're approaching. And I'll just mention in passing that we had additional information provided from our disparity study consultants, and that is driving a motion to reflect that the policy marketplace include an 8-county area, which basically is very similar to what we've been doing in the past for our small business. So that would be Harris, Montgomery, Fort Bend, Galveston, and Brazoria, and Chambers, Liberty, and Wall. So that would be the first part of the motion. And then, as I've mentioned to Commissioner Clunan, we've belatedly received a couple of non-substantive comments from our outside counsel, and we ask that the commission authorize us to the chief legal officer to incorporate as reasonable and necessary those non-substantive comments, provided that we will notify the commission as to that final format. We've gotten those last evening. They are non-substantive, mostly technical.
I just noticed of all the counties, it touches Harris County, and it was left down, so I was curious about that. Why?
So, Mr. Chairman, if you're ready, I'll make a motion that we approve.
Second.
Chairman, you're here. A motion and a second?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, good. All right. Any other comments or questions, commissioners? Commissioner Crusoe, I know you're trying to connect. Are you on now? Kelly, did we get Commissioner Crusoe connected?
If she's a call-in user, Commissioner Crusoe, please choose *6 to unmute yourself.
I also see her here, but with it, but muted.
While she's doing that, I do have some comments.
Okay, Commissioner Meese, go ahead. We'll try to connect Commissioner Crusoe.
I support this deal. I question why we have to create a separate group. I have so much faith in the employees at the port. I think they're good employees, great employees. I think they're quite capable of doing it without setting up a separate department just to see that they're doing what we're supposed to be telling them to do. And that's how I figure or read or interpret that particular part of it. Roger assures me that he's supporting it, and for that reason, I'm going to vote for it. But it's not because I don't have the faith in the employees that work at the port that are capable of handling it without a umpire, so to speak, watching them. I don't approve of that, but I'm going to vote for it.
Okay. Commissioner Crusoe, are you ready to speak? I see you, but I don't hear you. Technology is not helping us today.
Girls.
Did we get
hey,
John Carlos?
Hold hands and follow me.
We're trying to get Commissioner Crusoe, I think, who wanted to speak, but we're having a little trouble with technology. Kelly, what?
Oh, I'm sorry, that was someone that had come unmuted. I have her unmuted. I guess she's still having audio issues. I'm not able to do anything for her, unfortunately.
Okay, sorry about that, Commissioner. We'll have to figure out audio another time. I know that Commissioner Crusoe worked hard on this committee, along with Commissioner Clunan and Commissioner Don Carlos. Commissioner Don Carlos Commissioner Don Carlos, have you joined? Okay, I don't think I think the judge is just calling his case. So, but he has sent, he has discussed this with Roger and with me, and he is in favor of the program. And he says that he has registered his remarks and comments to the Business Equity Committee when he was voting for this, and he did vote it out of committee as well. So, Roger, any other comments on that? You're on mute.
What was his comments that he sent over?
I think Commissioner Meese, he had the same comment that you did about division. And I think that the idea behind the division is more about raising the profile of the group. Because, and if you heard the mayor and the commissioners talk about how raising it up is important, because it gives the outside world a view that it's not just some, that it has importance and weight on its own. I think fundamentally the idea that was one of his comments as well, and I'm happy to say that. And I think the issue that we have, and I agree with you totally, Commissioner Meese, that it's incumbent upon our team, whether you call it a department, a division, or whatever, we trust our teams to support the committee and to support the idea of diversity and equity and inclusion and MWB programs and widening and deepening the bench for people to raise them up to be able to work with the port. And so I think that in today's world, a division just gives the outside appearance that it's a priority for the manager team. And I know Roger you might want to comment that on, Roger. You can run it any way you want. It's your team. You know, you have the objectives that the commission will, I think, vote in favor of here in a minute. But you might want to comment on that. That's the only comment that Commissioner Don Carlos had as well. Same as yours, Commissioner Meese.
Yeah, and I think that's right, and is what he wanted to pass along, Commissioner Meese. You know, moving forward, it's a strategic objective of ours. The direction has been given, and we're certainly moving forward. We're going to be successful. We're going to deliver the results, and we got a lot of people working hard on it. And the next steps after this policy are the procedures in which we define to get us there. So we have our aspirational goals it's certainly laid out right in front of us to, show progress and continual improvement as we keep going moving forward. So we're on board and committed to positive results.
And I want to thank Roger. He's let me bug him at all times of the day, and we've had a lot of good discussion, and Gilda and Tim and Eric and a lot of people that have really worked hard, and especially with the committee, with Commissioner Don Carlos and Commissioner Corgi, and Commissioner Crusoe is not officially on that committee, but has been at every committee meeting, and they have read everything cover to cover. There's been a lot of documents that have gone back and forth in the last 5 months, and I'm really, really appreciative of everyone pushing to get this done.
Okay, any other comments, commissioners? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes for this item, F5, as modified by by Eric's discussion? Okay, hearing none, the item passes. So I appreciate all your time today. Commissioners, any other parting comments? You already heard my parting comments. I think we're completed with our agenda and schedule. Any other discussion?
I have one quick question.
Yes, sir.
We all got some emails in from the legal department. I assumed or thought that that would be taken up in special session. I really wasn't happy that we don't know how to terminate somebody at the port. It really disturbs me when you don't take trouble to read what you have to do to dismiss an employee. And obviously the legal department doesn't know how to do that. And I suggest that they figure out how to do it, because we're now going to pay another 6 months to a fired employees. That's what
Commissioner Meese, I'll be happy to talk to you about that offline, sir.
Well, I thought it would get taken up today in special session, but it didn't.
Yeah, he can have a conversation with you on that, absolutely. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, our next meeting is on May 25th, so look forward to seeing you. We're going to do it virtually as well, and as we move into our less work from home and virtual environment, we will be monitoring how we approach our future meetings after that meeting. But this will be a virtual meeting on May 25th as well. So thank you, commissioners. I will adjourn the meeting at this point. 11:01. Thank you. Take care.